back to the bunker, friends. I have doused my head with water, which is how we wash our hair here in the bunker, and I'm ready to go on another adventure this week in revelatory experiences. We're looking into the book of Revelation in a way you've never seen it before. We're laying down some groundwork. Today I'm going to be talking specifically to those who are new to this broadcast and who are maybe hearing some mature truth for the first time, but they came here because they're excited about the end times. They want to know what God's doing. They want to make sense of current events. They're afraid of the Ebola virus and other things. I don't mean to be making fun of the Ebola virus, although maybe I do. Humanity is in a terrible predicament. Friends are telling me, Martin, stay in South America because things are really about to break loose in the USA, and I don't doubt it, but nobody is safe anywhere except in the arms of God and Christ. And I want you to have a God consciousness like you've never had before. Maybe tomorrow I'll give you a secret. I'm going to write this down. I want to give you a secret about being a slave of Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to get you through this life, is to consider yourself a slave of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul called himself at the beginning of the book of Romans. Now, when you're beginning to write an epic book like Romans, I would tout my credentials. Oh, I was graduated from the best writing schools, and I'm a very smart person, and I'm extremely verbose, and I have a vocabulary that's wider than the walls of Babylon. And yet, what does Paul say? He says, I'm a slave of Christ Jesus. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. And a slave does only what his master says. Christ is our master. God was Christ's master. Even Christ said, I can do nothing of my own except what I see the Father doing. I would think that that would really simplify your life, and I want to simplify your life. Now, for those who are new to some of these things, I've been telling you that God is at peace with the world, and it's hard for you to believe it. But we have a new evangel today that came with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul brought us an evangel, that is a gospel, a message, a well message. That's what evangel means. Two-part Greek word, eu, which is well or good, and angelo, which is message, a well message. And this is it. I'm in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yet all is of God, who conciliates us to himself. That is, he makes peace with us, and he causes us to have peace with him. This is a key, not only to the book of Revelation and to be able to stand firm when you see the world falling apart around you, but it's a key to your personal happiness. And I'm invested here in your personal happiness and my own, I'll have to admit. Conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation, that is the giving out, the dispensing of a message, and it's this, of the conciliation. What's the conciliation? Stop using large theological terms, Martin. Conciliation means at peace. We're dispensing, I'm dispensing a word to you of peace. How that God was in Christ making peace, that is conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of this peace, that God is not reconciling. God is not holding against the world its sins and offenses. And you may ask then, well, why is God then coming back to declare war on the world? First of all, you have to believe me that God is now at peace. Boy, my hair looks pretty bad, doesn't it? Hang on. Oh, yeah, that's much better. You have to believe me that God is at peace now with everybody. That's why people can spit in his face and flip him the bird and he doesn't retaliate. But the day is coming when he will come to bring righteousness to the world, and it's a disciplinary measure. He's not pissed. He's not punishing people. It's discipline for righteousness. Now, here's an important piece of information for you. If you embrace this gospel of God's peace, you have no place in a world of war. You look at the news and you're disgusted and you hate it and you have a hard time killing a spider. At least I do. Well, okay, maybe not spiders, but flies. Flies are a little cuter than spiders. I can't kill anything and I hate death. I hate killing. I hate destruction. If they sent me to war, I would take my little gun in the battle, but I wouldn't use it, and I would just say, shoot me. That's what I would do, because I am very, I'm a pacifist, okay? And anyone in Christ who has this message of peace in them is a pacifist. So we have no place in a world when God decides to declare war on the world. Okay, Martin, how can God be at peace with the world and declare war at the same time? He's still at peace, but now he chooses to use drastic measures to shake the world up, and I'm going to get into why here in a second. But in any country, in any country that has ambassadors who represent a foreign country in that country, the country that sent the ambassador will withdraw their ambassadors before they declare war on that country. Did you get all that? If not, I can't repeat it. Put this on rewind and listen to it again. An ambassador is withdrawn by his or her home country when the home country decides to declare war on the country to which the ambassador has been sent. Now, we are ambassadors of peace, and we are not going to be here when God declares war, because we have nothing to do with war. And this is a comfort to you, that we are not going to be here for the day of indignation. That is, those of us who embrace Paul's gospel. If you don't know what Paul's gospel is, again, order my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. Order it today. You need this desperately. I think it's available electronically as well. Go to my website. You're there now. Go to the book section. Order this book, and you'll be able to order a report, What is a Believer? Write my company, StarkandHartman.com. Go to MartinZender.com. Just go to MartinZender.com. Ask for What is a Believer? It's a report. It's very important to know. But God is going to withdraw those who have the peace of God in them before this day of indignation starts. Now, what is God's case against humanity? Why is he coming? Because humanity as a whole, except for a very few, have forgotten about him. They have lost consciousness that he is in control of them, that he is operating in the world. They think that God is off on a far away galaxy, lost in some personal business, while he leaves this earth to boil of its own volition, its own free will, and then suddenly God's going to wake up, come back, and fix something that has gotten out of control. Where do I get this idea? From the Christian religion, from Christians. Now, I talked to you about humanity in general, that they've lost the God consciousness. They no longer care about the deity. They're trying to erase his name from public life, which is symptomatic of a great problem. Now, I admit many of these people are rebelling against the goody-two-shoes of the Christian world, who want to tack up the Ten Commandments on every public building, which is stupid, because the law came to produce indignation, and it's an administration of death. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4. For the most part, Christians are practical atheists, because they don't believe God saved them. And I'm saying this, for many of you have heard this, but for the sake of new people who have come in and listening to this show, I want you to know this, that you rightly suspect that something is rotten with the Christian religion. It is. Something's very wrong there. They're self-righteous hypocrites. They preach grace in their sermons, in their hymns, but it's a practical denial of it when they promote law, when they tell you there are certain things you must do to be saved, when they challenge you to be good or else God is going to send you to an eternity of torment. That's hypocrisy. God is a God of love, unless you don't love him, in which case he's going to send you to hell. And then they call that unconditional love. They don't know the love of God, so they're practical atheists. I put Christians in the same category as worldly atheists, except they have whitewashed. They dress it up in righteous garb, just like the whitewashed tombs of the Pharisees. God, to them, is an avenue of gain. They use God to get things. They use God so that things will go well with them. As I told you last week, they don't care what the book of Revelation means to God and Christ. They don't care what the cross means to God and Christ. All they want to know is, am I saved? Am I saved? Did I say the right prayer? It's a self-involved, self-absorbed religion for them. Christ is an avenue of gain and a badge of respectability. Christianity is a popular religion today, and it's an actual badge of respectability. Where is the shame of the cross? There is no shame because they wear the cross around their necks. And so the world, God is coming to shake up not only the mass of humanity who don't know him, but also the mass of humanity who claim to know him. He's coming to shake up the mass of humanity who don't know him and the mass of humanity who claim to know him, i.e. the Christian world. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are new to hearing these things, there are two types of unbelievers in the world. There are the obvious unbelievers, the worldly unbelievers, and then there are the Christian unbelievers or the religious unbelievers who use Christ, again, as a badge of respectability or as an avenue of gain. And both of these groups are going to be on earth to go through the tribulation, to be woke up finally to their hypocrisies, woke up finally to their games, woke up finally to the whitewashed sepulchers that they are. And the only ones who will be saved from the coming indignation are the true believers. That is, those who know that God is their God, who know that they don't have the power to choose him, that he chose them, who will throw off the shackles of organized religion, throw off the bondage of man-made teachings, who throw off the love of tradition rather than the love of truth. These are the ones God is coming for. Doesn't mean that the rest are damned for eternity, because God, believe this or not, God saves Christians too. But it means that we who embrace him now will come in early, and we will escape the coming indignation.